This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Dua Lipa with Calvin Harris. And one kiss is all it takes. Me.
Long name.
What, Dua Lipa with Calvin Harris?
And one kiss.
Well, it's one kiss. I made it longer. Sorry, very unprofessional. I'm not a DJ anymore.
I know, you back in us like shit ever since you left radio.
Yeah, and I don't care. You know how great that is? Because we used to have program directors who would tell us, now remember, Gareth, you've got to back announce the song, and you got to say the station name, and you got to say the time. Because DJs are stupid, and I don't know, maybe I was stupid too. But this program director, the one in question that's in my head right now, is like, this is how you do it. You got to say the song, then you got to say the artist, then you got to say the time, and then you must say the station call letters or the station name. And I would go, okay, program director, because this is what the program director's whole job was, to tell us to do this. It's like the dumbest job in the world. You want to meet stupid people? Ask for the program director at your favorite radio station.
But he's right, though.
You will meet a mouth-breathing, low-functioning invertebrate of the highest order. Like, you will be able to kick this person, and like a lizard, their tail will fall off, and they will scurry away.
But it was all about programming, because that's what you want when you're in mainstream entertainment like that.
Gareth, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I listened to the show this morning. I did a, in inverted commas, snoop session on you. That's what they'd call it. This is part of their jobs. They go, and I heard you do the call letters. You did the station name before you did the song. And I'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sure the audience don't mind. No, Gareth, that's not how it works.
No, Gareth, there was a 12-car pileup on the highway.
Yes.
And it was your fault.
No, for sure. They didn't care about the content. Like, I would be talking about something interesting about 5 seconds after that. But they were like, I'm sorry, but you didn't do the time before you did the station name.
You know, I used to think all of these stories of yours are exaggerations.
You know it's true. You were there.
True. And I have tons of friends who still work in various companies in media, and they'll have all of these things said to them constantly. Station ID is important.
They're such morons.
So you were supposed to go, it's 5 FM and it's 7:20, it's 7:09.
No, you've already screwed.
And you were supposed to go, it's 7:09 on 5 FM. No. Shit, I would fired on day one.
Yeah, didn't even last.
I'll try and do it professional. Link. And you got to say it like you...
Oh, like WNBC.
Yeah, you're right. You got to say it like you really care. So you got to go like, let me end the song.
That was Dua Lipa with One Kiss. It's 7:09 on whatever stupid station I'm on. Good morning.
And then people go, that was very professional, Gareth. Here's a lollipop for you.
The one thing that the internet age has killed is that level of professionalism. I miss that quality in a broadcast.
You?
Yeah,
do you? Me too.
Yeah, when it mattered to people.
Sorry.
I really don't want to sound like we're taking the piss out of people. You know, yes, they make an honest living. But a friend of mine who's an on-air personality has once said that she was reprimanded because of how she announced the station's number.
Mm.
Because that's very important. So the way you break it up, it would be 0861-555-189. Dare heaven forbid you say 0861-555-189.
No.
Can't do that.
You'll be fired.
She has literally reprimanded.
So this is the stupidity that goes on in radio. No, all right. I don't want to talk about radio.
It's
like talking about the gramophone.
It's just about a person's personality changing. I also won't mention who it is, but I have a friend who's a radio personality, and they talk completely differently in real life. Like, it's the radio with me on radio. Radio time on Radio O'Clock with me, Gord's friend on radio.
Yeah, and then?
And then in real life, they're just like, hi, Gord. And I'm like, yes, why? It's so annoying. And then, but it's like, you know, this individual is living their best life, and I'm happy for them, and it's really just no skin off my nose. But I always like, okay, guys, I'm on in 5 minutes. Just give me a moment.
Getting into character for radio.
Gord, yes. What term did you just say? No skin off your what?
Nose.
Oh.
Okay. I want to just, like, from now on, I'm going to be like, And in radio today, yeah. Hi Gareth, it's Gord joining us on cliffcentral.com.
You see, you can do that very well. Now, Lubabalo says the SABC should be permanently shut down. It is so shitty. They do not improve at all. Useless. And this is in response to a story in Ben's Sport this morning, which you can listen to in the Bounce podcast. Michelle says, Gord, as a grammar Nazi, you should stop using like in every single sentence. Mm. Michelle.
I prefer grammar pedant. My argument with grammar pedantry, which I'm fond of, I believe once you know and understand a rule, then you are allowed to decide at your discretion whether to apply it. Ignorance or non-acknowledgement of the importance of a rule is a sin. But once you know how it's supposed to be done, you can choose to do it differently. So yeah, I know if I was making a speech for something official, I would say like less, but I'm on radio because it's fun and I like it and I'm here with my friends, so it's like a total
jaw.
You've
got your radio voice.
It's a bloody flipping jaw.
So here's a great word for you for this morning. If you are a pedant and you're a wordsmith and you do care about improving your vocabulary, it's a brilliant word that I heard the other day, which we must use more often in South Africa because I think the people who are doing it won't know what you're talking about and it'll make them feel worse about the fact that they are peculants.
Ooh.
Peculation.
Such a good word.
Peculation is the wrongful appropriation or embezzlement of shared or public property, usually by a person entrusted with the guardianship of that property. So when someone in government steals money, that's called peculation.
Mm, peculate.
And I would imagine that feeling entitled to that kind of thing makes you peculant.
Yes.
And engaging in that behavior makes us a great word.
Isn't it a nice word?
I didn't know that one.
So there's a nice one to throw around. Peculant or peculation. And if you can't remember it for whatever reason, then make sure you get it out as like percolation that coffee does before you
let
use
it percolate.
Right?
Or just,
so peculate.
Think of ducks pecking at shit that isn't theirs.
There we go. Huh. Very nice.
I needed you guys when I was in school.
All right, listen to this. There's this feminist fight club. It's a bunch of what they call themselves queer feminists. They've started a fight club called Femme Feral. And they offer women and femme-identifying people a place to express their rage against the patriarchy through body slams and drop kicks. Try not to be judgmental until you've heard this. Then be as judgmental as you like.
Shit, we're listening. Cool.
Rush at each other and they rage.
Before the fight, I often think about things like Theresa May closing women's refuges, or I think about the man that catcalled me on the street.
Sounds like they're having fun.
My name is Phoebe Patey Ferguson and I founded Femme Feral. Femme Feral is a queer femme fighting force. We want to destroy the conservative government. We want to bring down the patriarchy. We want to take up space. We want to make lots of noise. We're really angry about the way that women and kind of femme-identifying people were being treated around things like Brexit and this conservative government, and having nowhere to put that anger. We fight each other as a mode of resistance to try and channel our energies and our rage.
Their event is called There's Sorry, Theresa May Smackdown. So they're getting together these women to fight each other and Theresa May.
A lot of people haven't done it before and you feel like empowered by the numbers actually. It feels like you can go out and smash some shit or something.
And they do an elaborate makeup thing.
Moments of a lot of suppression and repression, or not moments, but a lifetime of that actually. I felt a lot of pent up aggression. I hadn't really ever felt like I had a space to let that out anywhere, and that's one of the reasons why I started doing this, or actually just had an urge to fight. Had an urge to fight as a 29-year-old woman.
Go box.
It's so great.
Oh, that's how I support them. Go box.
Yeah, I think this is terrific. I think it's great that you get these women who are obsessed with oppression and suppression, that they don't want to bring down the patriarchy, they want to fight the conservative government. Instead, they fight each other. I say, Great.
Knock yourselves out. Yeah, literally and figuratively. But it's also like, imagine there they go like, okay, Gareth, your views on whatever are totally unacceptable. We've had enough. Now to finally show you how enough we've had, we're going to beat the shit out of each other and you're going to sit there and watch, damn you. And you're like, wow, guys, you really showed me.
Well, here's the agenda. They start off by getting together in a drum circle. No, seriously, this is what they do.
I thought this was a joke.
It's not a joke. This is for real.
I had to Google.
So they get together, drum circle. Then they limber up to My Name Is, which is the song. My name is him.
Don't call me Shane. No, that's not my name. That's not my name.
That's the one, right.
That's not my name.
Then they have a first round of fights. 1 minute on, 1 minute off. Then they all stop and everyone screams.
And they go, do they go full bare knuckle in the face?
No.
Like, it's not like
no
pillow fight sparring.
No, they just roll around and kind of, you know. I suppose they just, it's really, it's like play fighting.
Yeah.
And then they have another fight round and then they have death match.
Ooh.
But no, it's not, there's no death.
Oh. Mm. It's such a way to oversell it. They should call it light injury match. And then you, if it gets hectic, then you feel like you've undersold it and you're not disappointed. Like, look, I'm really not one for judging people purely based on appearances. But because the listeners can't see the video, they look exactly how you think they would.
Yes, pink hair, overweight, makeup in all the wrong places.
Yeah, I wasn't going to describe it like that. But they just imagine exactly what you think it is. Yeah. That's how they look.
All right, so there's something interesting that's happening in the world because, you know, we like to keep you on top of things here. We like to let you win the light injury match.
Yeah, makeup in all the
mild
wrong
discomfort match.
Am I wrong? Isn't that a good description? Makeup in all, because they've got like an eyebrow where they've drawn on eyebrows where you shouldn't have an eyebrow and that kind of
thing. They look like a caricature of someone. Yeah. That's
yes.
It.
Look, I have body parts where you shouldn't have, but I don't draw them on purpose. So. Sia's making a face.
All right, come on. There's stuff to discuss. There's actual news. There's actual stuff we need to get into. I want to ask Gord to just tell you a story quickly. And he's good at telling stories, but he tells them long rather than short.
Over long periods of time.
This is interesting because we have a problem in the service industry in South Africa. It seems to me there are loads of people who have a job. And it's hard to get a job in South Africa because there aren't a lot going around. We have massive youth unemployment, the highest in the world, according to the latest surveys, at about 52%. And the service industry in particular is one where you don't need to have massive qualifications. And I'm talking about if you are in customer relations, for example. You don't need 3 degrees and years of experience. It really just takes a smile and a willingness to help someone who's a customer to solve their problems and to connect them with the product they're interested in. It's not hard work, but we've got such bad people in certain places. I'm not saying this is everybody because we've got very good people, as the story will reveal too, but it seems there are a lot of people in the service industry in South Africa who really don't like helping people.
Yeah.
They're in the wrong business.
It's also one of those industries where if you don't have the qualifications and whatever and you get your foot in the door, you can learn from being in an entry-level position running a store, institutional knowledge about the store that after you've been there for a few years, you know how things work and you can actually progress and become store manager and those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, you have to have ambition to
work. Yeah, but if you do your shit. So I have been looking to buy the same cell phone as Ben. Ben showed me his phone. It's a very reasonably priced. I'm over having...
What's a Nokia 7?
It's a Nokia 7 Pro.
Right. 7 Plus.
7 Plus, sorry. Yeah. So I've been wanting to get a more mid-level phone because having these flagship phones is a total waste of time. Anyway, so I find this phone. It's a Nokia phone. They're not as easy to find. And I find it, there's various prices. I find it at a good price in a store that actually has it in my area, more or less in my area. So Connection, as Gareth points out, they're not that incredible. So Connection in Fourways Crossing has it. I call ahead. I'm like, hi guys, you guys have got it at the price I want. Is there one in stock? Yeah, the dude gives me his name and he says, cool. I said, keep it for me. I'm coming in. I'm going to come buy it later. It's cool. No problem. So I go into Connection and there are 8 staff, 6 of whom are like store assistant staff. And then the 2 security people at the front, and there's 1 other customer than me browsing. So I go to the front and I'm like, hi, I'm looking for Colin. He's got this device for me. This is this guy. So Colin says, oh yeah, no, just give me a minute, and then goes to the back. And I'm like, okay. So I like look at the PlayStation games. I wait 10 minutes and then I go to them. I'm like, is Colin coming back? Can someone go see where he is? Mm-hmm. The two dudes that are there look at each other like, oh God, really? Like, which of us now has to climb Mount Olympus and set our ass on fire for this oak? And the guy,
which of us can...
You know, whose turn is it now? So the one oak kind of rolls his eyes and also goes to the back, presumably to find Colin and my phone. And 8 minutes later, because I'm keeping track of the time, it's now 18 minutes, I'm standing by the phones, and I'm like, I turn around, and I'm like, okay, neither Urk has come back. I'm like, I say out loud, I'm like, I will give the money, give me the thing in the next 60 seconds, and I will give you my card and pay for it with positive balance. Otherwise, don't. And I know everyone looked at each other, and the one person kind of laughed like I was ridiculous, and I just turned around and walked out. So now I'm thinking to myself, have I cut off my nose to spite my face, and should I not have just stuck it out and got the thing I wanted? Like, am I being a dick by driving away? So drive away. Then I've got to get to another shop to pick up a medical prescription before they close. So I go there and I do that, and I check it's still 5 minutes, and the shops are kind of getting ready to close, but there's a Dion Wired there in Nickelway. And I go in, I stick my head in, I say, listen guys, just quickly, do you have this device? And the guy's like, no, we don't. You know, people ask about them, but the Nokia devices are great, but they're not in demand. So I'm like, oh shit, you know, I told him the story and I was like, man, I've got to like either find one somewhere else or I've got to find an alternative. And he's like, well, your best kind of spec for spec alternative to that phone is the Samsung A8. Great phone, but it is more expensive. And it's like 1500 Rand more expensive. And he's like, but hang on a sec, just wait, let me check something. Goes to his computer, does a quick thing on his computer, and he goes, yeah, I'm right. On Thursday, this phone is coming down by like nearly 3 grand. It's going to be 5,000 Rand instead of 7,999. Wow. He's like, you should get that. And I'm like, so instead of having to pay almost 1,500 Rand more for the device to get the other one, I'm going to pay 1,500 Rand less, get a slightly higher spec phone, and not have to buy it from Connection. So in this case, being dicked around caused me good fortune. And I was right to leave.
You see, no, I mean, I'm always a little bit nervous because maybe you just got the wrong branch and the wrong people on the wrong day. You know, maybe on any other day, maybe there's a death in the family or something horrible's happened.
Sure.
Whatever it is. But it just, I see this a lot. People with very sour opinions of the world and certainly of their customers not giving the sort of service that they could. And then you do meet the great people who will walk the extra mile. They'll look something up. They'll find the price. They'll tell you there's a good deal here. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've got this huge disparity between the brilliant people and the absolutely terrible people.
Yeah, and the other thing that was kind of like I was questioning of myself was this whole thing of like, look, if I stuck around a couple more minutes, eventually they would have given it to me. I would have got the thing that I wanted. I was very keen on this phone because Ben showed it to me and I really like it. I'm like, am I like really just, you know, does anyone care? Am I not just punishing myself? Should I not just go, you know, I'm not trying to make besties here. I just want to collect a thing and pay for it. You know? But
no,
eventually
no,
I was just like, screw these guys.
It's very frustrating.
And it worked out well for me.
But bad service just ruins everything, though.
What about bad service at the crematorium?
I shouldn't laugh as I tell this story, but I'm just trying to put it as it is. A crematorium in Tongaat, that is in KZN, is facing quite a serious problem, as they would like to call it. They're basically telling families in the area to not send their fat loved ones to be cremated there.
Oh, I can't go to Tongaat if I shuffle it off.
No.
Guys, just dudes, if God forbid, if I drop stonies in the studio one day, like, just, I know your first port of call would be, let's get him to Tongaat, but don't.
Just don't do it.
So why? What's the story?
The backstory is, you know, firstly, Tongaat is a largely community with a lot of largely Indian people there.
Yeah,
and
I've been
Indians
to Tongaat. Yeah.
They like to cremate very quickly, as we were citing a little early in the show. But this is quite a serious thing because, like, an engineer has now had to step in and compile a report on the actual facilities of the crematorium and say, actually, there's a weight thing. And it's fine for...
No, you mean when you burn someone, A fat person takes longer and more fuel.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And also, we're oily. I'm literally.
And you're oily, are you?
That's a deep fry.
No,
as opposed to a light grill.
I'm going to quote from the report that was compiled by the engineer. He says, due to the age of the crematorium, the fat burning capability of this unit is no longer effective. The engineer then suggested that overweight bodies have, in quotes, too much fat in them, and
does it crackle and hiss?
It's a true story though.
Leaks out during cremation.
But I can also think it's true. You're doing an ordinary human body, or you're doing an ordinary human body with 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 kilograms of extra fat, which is purely the same as like animal lard.
Oh my! You literally, goodness.
It's like, okay, we're going to cremate this oak, but we're also going to pour this barrel of margarine in with him. Like I don't begrudge these guys. If they flammable? Don't have the Hold facilities on. To do fat people, right, then I've, they don't.
I bry reasonably often.
No.
As do I, guys.
No, it's the same. Hold on. It's the same thing. It is the same thing. So when you do a bry, there are certain things, like there are like lamb chops, for example. Lots of fat, right? I mean, I love lamb chops.
Yeah, they make the bry catch fire.
The bry catches fire because the fat drips down and then flames.
Ooh. Sure. Or the chop catches fire because it's got fat on it.
So do fat, and you've got to be careful then because you burn it in the flames.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't want the flames.
You don't want fat to burn.
You just want the heat from the coals.
Crackle a bit.
So do fat people crackle and hiss and catch fire inside the furnace much faster than thin people?
I'm willing to donate myself to science in the name of the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com on this one.
For us to find out one day.
When it does happen, you oaks can send me to Tongaat and watch.
Now, the reason why as well I bring this up, because one of the staff there, Rajesh Ramkaran, is basically saying he has been tasked with having the awkward conversation of turning family members away. Because he now has to say, imagine you
it's
are...
It's quite difficult to turn away with someone not that big, physically turning them away.
But it's also hard to turn them away.
You can roll us away.
No, but hold on, guys. They're also dead, which means that it's not like you know, you can't do what Gord did when he went from Incredible Connection to Dion Wyatt.
Yeah.
You don't have a whole lot of options.
You have to have the conversation, though. This family has lost their loved ones. They're crying. They're upset. And you have to sit them down and say, excuse me, Smith family,
but I also
we can't do this.
I don't think this is like outrageous. I'm not going to start fat fem rage fighting.
Feral.
I'm not going to start fat feral and start getting me and a bunch of other fat people to fight each other in protest of how unfair this is. But it's just like the limitation of their facility. You know, there must be other crematoriums in that area. You could chop.
And then do it in increments. But then you'd have like a three-person Joel.
Yeah, you'd have to do that. Okay, we're going to do some of him now, some of him later. Maybe we say, okay, so Gareth and I snuff it together, right? And we go at the same time. That could be like, right, we're going to put like 15 kilograms of Gord in with Gareth, and he'll still be within the parameter. Then the next skinny person that comes in will put a bit more of Gord there, and then we'll do the rest of Gord, and it probably will be fine.
That's like when you bry and you put the vorse, then you do the chops, then you do the steak.
Yeah. It could be like that.
Because there's not enough space on one of those little webbers to do everything at once.
Yeah, do my leg, and then do another oak so that it can balance out, and then do my other leg. Okay, I'm dead.
Go to a comment section. I saw the story and I went to the comic section of it. And of course, people are just outraged over it.
Outrageous.
Shireen Roberts says, now you can't even die in peace in South Africa.
You can die in peace. It's just getting cooked afterwards. That's going to be a bit less peaceful. I mean, what's peaceful about getting cremated? Like, I want a comfortable cremation, please.
Yeah. I expect my cremation to be dignified.
Yeah, and comfy.
Yeah. Well, you see, I find this hilarious. There are lots of stories about people being upset and offended all over social media every day of the week and twice on Sundays. What I find hilarious is that people expect everyone else to care about their feelings. It's just unreal. It always strikes me as the most strange mixture between completely self-absorbed solipsism and the idea that everyone else should also feel that way about you.
Yeah, but people are entitled to an opinion, but social media has given them a voice to that opinion, and they believe that they're entitled for that opinion to matter to anyone else or be taken seriously.
No, here's the sad truth, right? Nobody cares about your feelings. Nobody.
Exhibit A, the crematorium is still moving on.
Right, they're going to keep...
They're on fire, in fact.
they keep burning.
They're keeping their fire burning.
It's hilarious.
We didn't stop.
All right, enough.
Okay, no.
All right. What else is going on? Come on. Well,
there's you heard about that assistant water polo coach from Parktown Boys High School.
Mm. Remind me of the story.
We haven't covered the story yet, have we?
We have covered it a while ago.
So a while ago there was, let's just say he was interfering with the children.
Oh,
327
God.
Counts he's now facing. 327.
What? Over how many years?
Colin Rex, over between 2015 and 2016. This is what he's...
1 year.
This is what he's facing.
It's one a day.
He includes one count of rape, 110 counts of attempted murder, 199 counts of sexual assault.
Attempted murder?
Seven of exposure to pornography, two of sexual grooming, and eight of assault. 23 boys from Parktown Boys have come forward and said, this Colin Rex, who's now 22 years old.
He's 22.
This makes the story quite interesting, because normally when you interfere with kids, it's because you're old and stuff.
You're not yourself a kid, yeah.
Yeah, but so he was a boarding master, and he was also accused of showing boys erotic movies like 50 Shades of Grey while stroking their faces and whipping their legs.
Oh, yeah.
That's so there is something really, really wrong with this guy. I mean, this isn't like, I slipped, tripped, and I fell, or I was going through a funny stage. He's pleaded guilty to 144 counts of sexual assault. But there's attempted murder in here as well, because he liked to strangle all the boys too. So apart from all that...
He was into autoerotic asphyxiation.
This wasn't like over years. This was in 1 year.
Between 2015 and 2016, this person needs to be removed from society. There's something fundamentally wrong.
Have they finally
wrong.
Identified him? Oh, there's a picture.
Well, there is. His name is Colin. His name is spelled C-O-L-L-A-N. Colin. Colin.
So Colin.
Colin Rex. This is the guy.
What a story. I feel bad for all those kids, though.
Yeah, that's horrible, man.
Water polo team. But I mean,
that's going in guns blazing. That's not like covering your tracks very well.
This is like...
He's trying to strangle them. Jesus.
I mean, your only function every single day was trying to molest and murder children.
I suppose if your job was assistant water polo coach at a private school, you wouldn't have too much else to be proud about. But yes, I mean, that's not even trying to like make a kind of systematic... on the quiet. That's just coming straight out and gunning it.
But then the question is, how does this go on for so long? Like, these aren't just... This isn't just a stray butt tap here and there, or, you know, like looking at a kid's wang or whatever. This is the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
This is a lot of stuff going on.
He went in throwing combos.
You know, I'm blown away by how much of this stuff happens. I mean, this Boys of Bird Island book, you've got people like this, 300 charges. My God.
People are just so gross, man. It's like, you think like people are generally decent, and like the people you know are pretty decent, and you like to think of yourself as being more or less decent, but like there's just monsters everywhere.
Monsters.
Well, there's a very good chance that this guy was molested heavily as well.
Yeah,
so we need to tie back to
that.
No,
I'm sure there's probably...
Because other monsters.
You suddenly go, well, I like squash and molesting boys. Now, it doesn't just happen. You don't just pick it up as an extracurricular activity.
Some people probably do, but I agree with you. You've got to be a bit damaged. You've got to be a bit dented around the edges as yourself to do that.
I found a really interesting picture. You know, people post some bizarre stuff on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and someone posted a picture of a dove in Afghanistan.
Oh.
Right now, Afghanistan's a pretty dangerous place, but the dove has made its nest out of locking wire. You know, wire, like wire you'd use for barbed wire fences.
Okay.
And instead of bits of twigs and so on, the dove has been making the nest out of wire. That's a very hardcore dove in a very dangerous place making a plan.
So it's an art dove. It's created, but I mean doves are like the symbol of peace.
It's sitting on a pile of wire.
I can see it. Doves are the symbol of peace. Yeah. So that dove is like a next level installation artist going and making a protest against the war.
This poor little thing. I mean, Afghanistan.
Talented thing.
If you ever needed a single picture, as you say, it's a metaphor for peace, the dove, right? If you ever needed a picture that symbolized what an awful,
a dog show
nasty place Afghanistan is, a picture of a dove sitting on a wire nest has to be...
The doves, even the symbols of peace, make their nests out of weaponized barbed wire. Afghanistan,
it's
where
incredible.
The doves live in barbed wire.
It's incredible, right? Isn't it? Frightening.
Still a badass dove, though.
We are one day away from our exclusive movie screening, The Equalizer 2. We're officially out of tickets to give away. We can't wait to hang out with you, though. If you did get your tickets, by mailing Sia and the rest of our CliffCentral.com crew will be there. Popcorn, some Coke, and we'll enjoy the action thriller showcasing Denzel Washington at his best on Thursday, 23 August, the day before it hits cinemas nationwide.
Legit excited for that one. The first one was cool.
Denzel reprising one of his signature roles as Robert McCall in The Equalizer 2, which hits cinemas on Friday. But you get to see it one day before everybody else. Isn't that cool? McCall serves an unflinching justice for the exploited and oppressed, but how far will he go when it's someone that he loves? When his former agency boss and only friend is killed in an ordered hit, McCall leaps into action to avenge her death. To settle the score, he will have to face four highly experienced killers who have the same precision training that he does. Count down with us by using the hashtag TheEqualizer2. I want to speak to Sia Ntutela, who's the founder and CEO of InvoiceWorks. And we're doing this in association with Alpha Code. We met Dominique not so long ago. Last week, in fact, we spoke to her about what Alpha Code are doing. And just to introduce you to what we're exactly looking for here. Alpha Code are, of course, inviting applications for their prestigious Alpha Code Incubate program that seeks to identify and reward high-potential, innovative entrepreneurs to boost the development of fintech and financial services in South Africa. We will be meeting over the course of the next few weeks a number of businesses who've been invited to pitch for 8 places on the Alpha Code Incubate program. The final 8 businesses will compete in a customized 12-month program and will benefit from entrepreneurial packages worth 2 million rand each. And when you're starting a business, trust me, that can be the lifeline you need to keep it going in the tough times and through those moments where you need to make major investments and you don't necessarily have a massive corporate backbone that you could tap into either. The first round of applications close on the 7th of September 2018 and the program will begin on the 1st of November. So I'm thrilled to have Sia Ntutela here. He has a bachelor's degree at the University of South Africa. He's a serial entrepreneur with an investment banking background and a passion for small business. And by the way, I saw you laughing like a drain outside while we were talking about the crematorium in Tonga. You think that's funny, which is exactly why I'm glad you're here.
It is funny.
Of course it's funny.
It's a serious problem, though.
Of course it is. You're the kind of guy, though, who would solve a problem like that by finding a way around it. And this is why we're talking to you today. You founded a company in 2010 called Bonsai Capital, yeah, which focused on enterprise development for early stage SMEs.
Yeah.
And in 2015, you co-founded a fintech startup called InvoiceWorks.
Yeah.
Which is a trade finance platform that seeks to provide credit to SMEs for contracts and purchase orders and discount invoices for them for early settlement from debtors. It sounds complicated. Can you explain to me just in dumb Gareth terms what exactly InvoiceWorks does?
Yeah, so I think that literature is from when we started the our journey as InvoiceWorks. As you know, in any entrepreneurial journey, you pivot according to what the market wants.
Right.
And I mean, we've seen our own share of a fair share of pivoting, where we primarily focus on providing inventory financing. And what do I mean by that? So you run a small spaza shop in the township, mm-hmm, and you traditionally don't qualify for a bank loan or any of the developmental funding institutions. Then you would come to us. We would then advance inventory to you instead of giving you cash.
Oh, wow. So you help people with the actual produce.
Correct.
Huh.
Correct.
And, of course, borrowing is a problem.
Yeah, it
is. Because a lot of people who run these little businesses get ripped off.
Correct.
By loan sharks and these kinds of people.
Correct.
Aha. So that's the gap you're filling. I'm starting to understand a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay. And how many businesses are you involved with?
Currently, we are servicing over 700 small retailers within the township.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I mean, we primarily operate within the Mpumalanga area, so the low veld and high veld. And how we set up the businesses is such that we have depots, mm-hmm, where we receive all of the goods, so call it fulfillment centers, for the spazas, mm-hmm, and we then dispatch from there.
So they then sell the produce, or they make various kinds of food products.
Correct.
Out of this stuff, and then they pay you back afterwards.
Correct.
So they don't need the money up front.
No, there's no upfront money, and there's nothing of that nature. So we...
I mean, this is a direct result of not enough people being in the formal economy and not enough people being banked, right?
Yep.
So rather than try to change the whole world, you guys solve the problem at the place where it needs solving.
Yeah, I mean, that is the most vulnerable of sort of sectors. The informal sector, funny enough, in Africa employs the most number of people, yeah, but it's the most neglected. You know,
and I would imagine cash flow is probably a reason that so many of them don't survive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical example. I mean, the question that we asked when we started the business was to say, well, how is it that as a big brand, whoever you are, and you're trading with someone for the past 5 years, but you don't underwrite them in terms of credit? I mean, each and every business, big business out there, has credit lines with their suppliers. So it doesn't make sense. So this is where we then challenge the status quo to say, but hang on, this is the person who's reliable, who's trading with you on a daily basis. Yeah. Give them credit.
Why is it, do you think, that we put so many obstacles in the way of people who have good ideas and have a passion to start their own business? We create so much red tape for them, whether it's FICA, whether it's being able to bank your money, whether it's being able to utilize non-cash services. Yeah. Why do we make it so difficult? I mean, really, in a country like ours, we should abandon those rules in the effort to get the business going.
Correct. Correct. I think there's a lot of, you know, South Africa's markets are very concentrated amongst large players. You know, you'll have four big banks, you'll have four telcos, you'll have, you know, five retailers and
cartels. And let's call them what they are.
I mean, that's what it is. Ultimately, when you think about it, and then you'll have, you know, with the Spaza market, they're not only contending with a lot of foreign traders coming in, they're also having malls coming into the township. So you can imagine the kind of problems that they're facing. I mean, to survive as a small retailer in the township is horrendous. It's, I mean, it really requires a lot of support. And this is, I mean, our action is quite deliberate. We're trying to level the playing field.
I think it's terrific. And business is good for you. It's business, going well.
Business has been going well. I mean, we're growing quarterly in double digits. And
wow.
You know, I often hear...
So that's incredible.
Yeah, I often hear VCs saying there aren't any black businesses that we can fund out there. I mean, if they're listening, we're here. We're doing some credible stuff. We've got 40...
On paper, it sounds terrific.
Wow, 40 staff members on the ground. We've got about 12 vehicles that we move product with. We've got 2 warehouses. So we're trying. And this is all from bootstrapping.
So tell me about Alpha Code's role in your journey.
So, yeah, Alpha Code has been quite instrumental in our journey because we joined it in 2016. It was just me and my co-founder. In 2017, we won the competition that you are just announcing now, where we won some seed capital. That enabled us to build the platform and the credit scoring models. Yeah, I mean, in 2017 late, we started trading. And yeah, I mean, so they've assisted us quite a bit in terms of assisting us in hiring staff and office space in Sandton.
I think it's such a great story because you saw a gap, you're solving people's problems, you are reaping the rewards for your business, and you've had input from people who were able to help you at a significant time. This is a great illustration of what, you know, think tanks and communities like Alpha Code can do for a business.
Correct.
But it wouldn't have happened without you and your co-founder. And for you guys to have identified that is, they're just people who see the market and understand where to get involved.
Yeah,
it's a terrific story. Invoice Works, that's invoice, W-R-R-X, .co.za if you want to find out more. And congrats on your success so far, Sia. What a pleasure to meet you.
No, thank you very much, Gareth.
Sia Ntutela, you can find out more at invoiceworks with an x.co.za. And that's really just incredible because so many small businesses, and I mean really small businesses, people who are literally selling stuff on the street, who are selling stuff in the townships, making a little bit of money every couple of days, doing it for themselves, self-sustained, then these people are making the difference. and you're able to advance them the stuff they need so that they can keep their businesses afloat. Because God alone knows cash flow kills probably 90% of the businesses.
Correct.
Not just the small ones, but the big ones too. All right, Sia, nice to see you, man.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Cheers.
There's an exciting story. You can find out more by going to InvoiceWorks, and we'll be keeping up with a couple of businesses over the next few days when it comes to figuring out some of the Alpha Code businesses, some of them that are already involved in the program, that are already in the community, and others that you might think want to or that you might suggest should get involved in what Alpha Code are doing. Isn't that great? Very nice.
Yeah, indeed, Gareth. It is. But the whole thing is that we always think there's not a lot going on, but the growth, the double-digit growth?
That's amazing.
And that's one of many stories.
And in this economy?
Every quarter, he said. That's awesome.
That's a business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love hearing about people being successful, especially in a world where we know for a fact that these things are harder than ever right now. The economy is not exactly an easy environment for people to start new things in. Mm. So, a couple of other things that we did need to get to this morning, news story-wise.
Well, a little earlier, Ben, you brought up the Parktown Boys story. Did you guys hear what has happened at the private boarding school in Michael House in KZN?
Oh, no.
There's some sort of teacher-student engagement.
Yes.
What?
But the reason this is slightly even more odd is the fact that a teacher at Michael House has now resigned after it emerged that he was involved in what they're calling inappropriate relationship with a pupil. Everything is on board. It seems that
you mean
it's above board. Let me say it that way. This was a relationship between a staff member and a pupil. So Michael House, it's one of the top schools in South Africa. It has annual boarding and tuition fees costing more than R250,000.
One of South Africa's most exclusive schools.
Really? But last week, parents were notified about what is happening between this teacher and a pupil because there were messages being sent around. And one of the messages was, it has emerged that an inappropriate relationship was established between a teacher and a boy, and the issue is in the subject of an ongoing and thorough investigation by the school.
What is it, a romantic relationship?
That's what it is. And
see, when I was at school, there was a guy in matric who we all knew was banging one of the teachers.
And so that's why I'm trying to play devil's advocate and say, what is inappropriate about that? Because
it's an age thing, right? So if you're a boy over 18 years old,
technically 16. The South African age of consent is 16, and the student is above 16.
Yeah, and then there's the power dynamic between the teacher and the kid that people don't always approve of, and this is very controversial stuff.
And so the reason behind this teacher resigning was because I think in their mind, the relationship is solid and they really want to make it work.
Oh, so they're actually dating.
They are. So the teacher has now decided to resign and currently
they're going to go off into the sunset together.
I mean,
all right.
In their head, I think so.
Sure.
Because no police action has been taken because nothing illegal is taking place. In any case, all of the parents are just up in arms like, oh no, this is like not cool at all, but there's nothing that can be done. Even though I do get it makes some people a little uncomfortable. Like 16 years old, you're in grade 10 most likely, and you're in a relationship with your teacher.
You see, I do think there's an aspect to this which you can't consider just, romantic, open, friendly, accessible, easy, consensual, because there's an element of it that is a teacher-student relationship, which is a power relationship, which is complicated. I don't know that it's all kosher.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand some parents getting upset about it, and at the same time, if the two participants in this relationship are of consenting age and have decided that they will abandon their role of teacher and student and give it a try as a relationship, well, it's 2018. Why not?
I just don't think this is a smart decision on behalf of the teacher. I don't think if they're serious about this relationship,
I'm very
he or she should have resigned.
Very conflicted on this. I don't know what to make.
Also, to resign from that kind of a teaching job, like that's a well-paying teaching job. That's a good job. Mm. You're not going to get that sort of salary, that kind of thing somewhere else.
Isn't it weird? Like schools have become like just a landmine zone for... If you think about just these two stories this morning, and then you think about the church stories of the last couple of days, it is harder than ever to be a kid in a predatory environment where you now also have social media. And there's a lot of stuff going on that makes it pretty damn tough to navigate.
It has all of the ingredients for a horrible situation.
It kind of begs the question, has this stuff always happened, or is it because of the media we hear more about?
I don't know. I would.
Because it just sounds like we are completely oversexed with a lot of things nowadays.
Maybe.
Is that what our phones are really making us into?
Maybe.
But you bring up the whole thing about the power play, power dynamics. Mm. People are obsessed with that kind of stuff.
Well, I look, though, and I think I brought this up when we initially spoke about the Parktown Boys situation. I look at this guy in particular, this Rex guy at Parktown, who's 22 years old. And I know that a lot of big high schools start to do this, where they bring teachers who are training or apprentices. And so they're young and they relate to the pupils at the school, and now there's social media, so we're going to follow each other.
He's 4 years older than... It's not a huge age gap. But this, I'd be fascinated to know more about this teacher and student and the nature of the relationship, what the age gap is, and what they're going to do together. Like, can go off riding into the sunset and have a happy relationship. I'd like to know how that goes. And I do wonder how I would deal with it if I was the school. What do you do? How do you navigate this without pissing everyone off? It's like everyone's going to be cross in some way, right?
But you do get some places of work where they say you're not allowed to have relationships with fellow co-workers.
Yeah, you can't fraternize.
So I'm guessing you would have a contract that says don't touch the children or don't get into relationships with the children.
Well, if it wasn't there before, it certainly is now.
Professional era, you know, those things would be kind of stipulated up front.
All right, listen to this. There's a singer called Katarina Villard, and she does a cover of Hello. Just listen to this. I want to know what you think. She does it as Beyonce. Celine Dion. Whitney.
But when I call you, never.
Lady Gaga. Shakira. Hello from the outside. Who the hell's that?
That's Jesse J.
Oh. At least I can say Mariah Carey. Incredible. Christina. Britney. That's pretty incredible. She does like 10 divas in
one sitting.
A minute. It's like a minute long, and she covers all of those divas. She's got like pretty much the biggest voices in music, right?
Jeez.
For female musicians. She covers them all. She manages to change it sufficiently that you can hear she's doing the different people. I have such admiration for that kind of talent. I'm sure you heard that guy who does the two parts.
Let me just see if I can find this quickly.
Well, you have admiration. I have envy.
Yes, indeed. I can see why.
This is amazing. There's this dude who does both parts of that Andrea Bocelli song.
Oh, wow. That's quite an undertaking.
Yeah. No, this is something else to hear. It's quite incredible. Let me see if I can get this up here quickly. Got to wrap it up with the news in a moment or two, and then we're going to do a replay of Tseppi Vundla, who we spoke to not so long ago. But listen to this quickly. This is pretty amazing. All right, so he's going to do Andrea Bocelli and I think it's Sarah Brightman, I can never remember, or Celine, or one of them.
The Prayer.
Yeah. So listen, it's one person.
107.5.
All right, listen to this. My prayer will be all right. It's a man, right?
and watch us where we go.
That's incredible.
Can't wait.
And help us to be one.
Natural voice, no falsetto. This is incredible.
In times when we don't
know. My eyes and ears aren't matching right now.
I know, that's the difficult part, right?
Let this be our prayer. When we lose our way, lead us to our place. Guide us with your grace to a place where.
Shut up.
Same guy.
I pray you will find your light
nel cuore resterà.
In hold within our heart
a ricordarci che
stars go out each night.
Eterna stella sei.
Let this be our prayer.
When the furniture,
when shadows fill our day,
lead us to a place.
Guide us with your grace.
Give us faith so we'll be saved.
That's pretty damn incredible. I got to tell you, one person putting out both of those parts. I mean, listen, it's hard enough to find someone who could sing the male or the female lead in that one. But to be able to do both.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
he's harmonizing right. On his own. Yes, let's end the show off on that ego-boosting.
You like that, Sia? That's inspiring to you, huh?
No, that is not inspiring because that just reminds me how horrible.
How horrible your singing is, yes. All right, here's the unnews. Moving into the final few land hearings, the EFF are stressing a little bit as they're running a little low on funds to bus people into the various town halls to spread the party's agenda. Julius says he would take them if he could, but he doesn't own a bus and Floyd only transports sleigh queens in his Range Rover. The Commission of Inquiry into State Capture is moving along. It's a fascinating thing, really. Everyone knows the Guptas stole billions from the country, and now billions more are being spent to try and prove it in a court of law. What a time to be a lawyer. South African rugby has just released figures confirming a record low in attendance for a Durban test match. The stadium was less than half full for the South Africa versus Argentina match. But Durbanites say there's good reason for it. They don't care about rugby. They haven't for quite some time now, yet matches are still played there. SA Rugby said they were looking into this shocking insight and will set up a commission of inquiry to get to the bottom of it. Coming up, Seppi Wundler and a range of brilliant stuff on cliffcentral.com for your listening pleasure. We shall see you 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
This is cliffcentral.com.